And you get over to another part in Matthew, or you get over in Revelation, talk about enduring to the end, then you're thinking, man, I got to endure to the end to make it, and all this other stuff. And you're going to endure some things, but you're not enduring for salvation in the church age. You're saved, you're sealed, and you're set apart for a purpose. And you got to understand that in the Old Testament, there were different dispensations. We'll look at that a little bit here in a minute again. But in Genesis chapter 3 is where I want to start talking about, but I want to look at a verse in 1 Corinthians. So stay in 1 Corinthians if you would. In Genesis chapter number 3 and 2 and 3, we're dealing with the first Adam. And the first Adam, in Genesis 2, 7, it says he was formed of the dust of the ground, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So the first Adam was given life. He received life from God. You get over 1 Corinthians 15, 45, and it says, and so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. There's that life from God. And the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So the first Adam was given life from God and by God. The second Adam is a giver of life from God. So the first Adam was an imperfect man that sinned. The second Adam is Jesus Christ. So God breathed that life into the first Adam, and the second Adam, Jesus Christ, gives us life. And that's what the whole book's about. It's about a fallen state of man and a redemption of man. And it's about a curse on this earth and a redemption of this earth. And we talked about this before. We'll go into it a little bit tonight. The fact that when Jesus Christ died on Calvary, when they were fixing to, getting ready to crucify him, and they made that crown of thorns from Genesis, it talks about the thorns and thistles being a curse on this earth. And he took the curse of this world on his brow. And when he hung on Calvary, he paid the sin debt for the whole world. And if people go to hell, it's because they don't accept the payment in the church age. But he took that curse, and he's the only one that can fix this place. He paid the debt. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth because of what happened on Calvary. You're a new creature if you've trusted Christ because of what happened on Calvary. You've been born again because of what happened on Calvary. And that's the theme of this book. It's a life-giving God. And to rightly divide this book, you have to understand there's different dispensations. And we could get into mincing words, whether you know what dispensation means. It's just basically, it's about a time where men were responsible to God in different ways. And in the garden, until Adam fell, it was the age of innocence. It had one rule. They were innocent. And when they, I believe this is true, I believe when they sinned, they covered their flesh because you could look at their flesh and see something that happened to them. And I believe that's because their blood was tainted. It wasn't tainted before. I believe that. I've heard Brother Ruckman say that, and I believe that's 100% right. Because if you look at grape juice and old wine and new wine, which we have talked about that a little bit in the past, there's a difference, and a difference in the wine that is found in the cluster and the wine that gets the person drunk. They're both called wine, but one's new wine and one's wine you're supposed to stay away from. So when these fools tell you, well, Jesus drank wine, he drank wine out of the cluster. He made new wine. He didn't drink it anyway. He didn't say he drank it, said he made it. The first thing to tell you, Jesus drank wine. No, he made wine. He turned water into grape juice. That's a huge miracle, amen? But if you believe Genesis 1:1, it's not a big deal because he can do anything if he can create the world, amen? Create the universe. But Adam was put into the age of innocence. And then from the fall of man to the flood, we have the age of conscience. And then after that, from the flood to Abraham, we have human government. And see, man failed in each one of these sections. And then we have the promise that went to Abraham, to Moses, and then the law from Moses to the crucifixion. Now, I know that the law was until John, it said. But we're looking at the fact that there's no New Testament without the death of the testator, so we really didn't get into the full-blown church age until Jesus Christ died and rose again. But that period of time was the law, and man failed in the law. But see, God did not give man the law to get him to heaven. The law is a schoolmaster pointing us to Jesus Christ. He gave Israel the law to show them they couldn't keep it. So then they knew they had to do what was a type of Christ. They had to keep sacrificing these animals, and they had to keep getting right for these short periods of time. It was all a picture of Jesus Christ. That law was showing them there were sinners and there was going to be a Messiah come that was perfect. It was also showing them that there was going to have to be a sacrifice made for sin eternally. they were doing these short-term sacrifices, but it was pointing to Jesus Christ. And then after the crucifixion and resurrection, we're in the full-blown age of grace, which is a church age, which happens, it happens from the crucifixion, basically, to the catching away or the rapture. And that's going to happen. I'm ready. You ready? Amen. Actually, I want to talk to Raymond, because I believe the Lord lined that up, and get to witness to him. Then we can't be raptured out right now because the Lord lined that up. He wants me to witness to Raymond. Amen. But as soon as that phone call's over, I'm ready. And then that great tribulation, the time of Jacob's troubles in Jeremiah. But in Daniel, it talks about Daniel's 70 weeks. And in Daniel's 70 weeks, we talked about the fact that it says in the 69th week, which is 69 weeks of years, that's 483 years, from the time of the rebuilding of the temple and the reinstitution of the religious system at Jerusalem, 483 years later, the end of that 69th week, the Messiah is cut off. And that's Jesus Christ being crucified. And then that 70th week is the time of Jacob's troubles, a great tribulation when God gets a hold of Israel and turns them back to him. And like we talked about in the Old Testament, when you're looking in Ezekiel, you're looking at Isaiah, you're looking at Zechariah, the Old Testament prophets looked and they seen the first coming and second coming of Jesus Christ like they were one thing. When they seen that first coming, they seen him come, and then they seen him ruling and reigning. They seen that millennial reign. They didn't see the church age because the church age didn't even have to exist. The church age exists because they didn't accept him for the reign. If they would have accepted him, if Israel as a nation would have accepted him as their king, then the church age wouldn't have been here. And praise God, it is a terrible thing, and it ought to break our heart that anybody would reject Christ for anything. But I'm glad that we're in. Amen. And another thing we need to remember going back over this overview is that God loves Israel. It's not God loved Israel. He still loves Israel. And the way we know that is Romans chapter 11 says the blindness in part is coming to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. It says that he turned to the Gentiles to make them jealous. Now, that makes no sense for him to provoke Israel to jealousy if he is not going to turn back to them or turn them back to him. Why would he make somebody jealous? There's no purpose in it unless he's trying to get their attention. And he's going to get their attention. When they get into the tribulation time, after we're out of here, we've talked about different things in tribulation, about the Antichrist and the two witnesses, the two olive trees, Moses and Elijah. And we've talked about the 144 witnesses that are male Jewish virgins, by the way. They're not Jehovah's Witnesses in the sense of the JWs running around here, the no-hellers. They're witnesses that have been sealed in their head with the name of God. God sealed them in their head. Just like the devil's going to come along and try to seal some folks, they're going to have to take that mark, because skin for skin, all a man hath he'll give for his life, right? That's what the book of Job said. And when people find out they can't buy or trade or sell without the mark, good night, they're going to take the mark, most of them, but some of them won't. And some of them, we looked at Revelation chapter 20 where it talks about those folks, those that were beheaded for the cause of Christ and for the testimony of Christ, for the word of God. Those folks are tribulation saints that wouldn't take the mark. And then we also talked about the fact that it's interesting. I'm telling you, you got a book that is just amazing. And I'll tell you, the more you read it, the more you study it, and the more you're, the Ethiopian eunuch, he told Philip, how can I except some man should guide me? And God give you a pastor, and I'm doing the best I can to try to get a hold of what God has for you. And pray for me, because I want this book to come alive to us every time we're in here. And you look at that book of Job and that tribulation time, 7 years, and that first half of that tribulation time, he's made a peace covenant. The Antichrist has made a peace covenant with Israel, and things are flowing along pretty good. And then the next thing you know, that old boy, he turns into the full-blown Antichrist. And then the 3.5 years of great tribulation, and 3.5 years is 42 months. Job has 42 chapters. Job is a picture of the tribulation. Job is a picture of the Jews. That's another reason we know God's not through with the Jews. Because he's not through with Israel, because the devil took everything he could take from Job except for his life, and the devil's taken everything he could from Israel except their existence. He tried to do that. Read about the 7-day or 6-day war. He tried to do that. He's tried to do that more than once. And he's taken a lot from Israel, but he hasn't taken their existence. Job, he took everything from Job but Job's life. Didn't take his wife, because they're one, but he took everything else. And then God got a hold of Job, dealt with Job's pride. Even though Job was a perfect and upright man that feared God and eschewed evil, he still had a pride issue. And Job said in, I believe it was chapter 23, chapter 27, one of those two, I think it was 23, he said, "When I come forth as gold," because he was purifying Job. It wasn't that Job was a bad man, his God was going to make a better man out of Job. And the folks that are saved in this church age, God doesn't look at us as bad people, he looks at us as righteous because of Jesus Christ, but we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to be purified, because everything that was done in pride and in the flesh is going to burn up. Just like Job, we're going to be purified. But at the end of Job, at the end of those 42 chapters, he blesses them more than he did in the beginning. And that's what he's going to do at the end of the tribulation. He's going to bless Israel more than he's ever blessed them. As a matter of fact, he's going to fix everything. Amen? At the end of that tribulation time, there's going to be a battle of Armageddon, which won't be a whole lot of a battle. It'll be a quick thing. The Lord's just going to whoop them. And then we're going to the millennial reign, where thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ on the throne of David, where Satan's bound for 1,000 years. Jesus Christ rules and reigns with a rod of iron for 1,000 years, which is what matches up with Matthew 5 through 7, which is the constitution of the kingdom, matches up with Matthew 24 and 25, which is talking about millennial reign time. It's not talking about this church age time. A lot of Baptists get goofed up in that book. A lot of Christians get goofed up in that book, and we'll deal with that later more. But that's what it's talking about. It's that millennial reign where Jesus Christ rules and reigns, where if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. If that was church age doctrine, there'd be a lot of lame and blind people running around. Amen? Amen. Every man, every woman would have something missing. And we'd have to do that for salvation. But we don't do that in the church age. That's millennial reign stuff. And after a 1,000-year reign, Satan's loose for a little time, for a season. And he goes out and gathers folks around for the battle of Gog and Magog. And Jesus Christ defeats them. Fire comes down and devours them. And then on into eternity. And if we understand that God deals with people differently and people are responsible differently in those different dispensations, Adam had one rule. Amen? You get into the law, they had lots of rules. So there's obvious difference. We have one thing that we can do, and that's call on Jesus Christ to get to heaven. You can do anything you want as far as the law goes. You could hunt down the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you could find it, you could stay away from it, you'd still go to hell. Because we're sinners. We're born with the sin nature of Adam. But if you call on Jesus Christ in this church age, that's it. Now, when you get to the tribulation, it's going to be faith. It's going to be grace and works. It's going to be faith and works. It's going to be works again. You remember when he talked about in Revelation 20, we was talking earlier about those folks that were beheaded for the testimony of Jesus Christ and for the Word of God. Those were folks that did works. They refused the mark of the beast. They were punished and martyred for their stand on truth and their testimony of Jesus Christ being the Messiah and going against the Antichrist. And back again, back in Daniel. Daniel's an amazing book. Daniel and Revelation, you can't have one without the other as far as understanding the two. They open each other up. In Daniel chapter 3 and Daniel chapter 6, I believe it was, and you're looking at the Daniel in the lion's den, you're looking at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you're looking at tribulation stuff. And, you know, those three that refused to bow down and worship, which, the king that set that up is a type of the Antichrist. They bow down and worship that image, which they're going to do, a lot of folks are going to do in tribulation time. The ones that refuse to, they're going to go through the fire, but God's going to save them through it. So that's the same thing that's going to happen with the Jews that refuse to take the mark. But see, there's a reason they refuse to take that mark. And it's because of the New Testament. They're going to be able to look at Revelation and Hebrews and Matthew. And it's going to give them a light on Zechariah and Isaiah and Ezekiel that they never had before. And those folks will stay true. Some of them will. And we talked about that first resurrection. You get over to Revelation. Let's turn to Revelation 20. In Revelation 20, I do want to do a full a more exhaustive study of Revelation, hopefully in the next few weeks or few months anyway, depending on whether we start with Matthew or Revelation. But I want to look at a few things that we had talked about in the last 4 or 5 weeks right now. Let's look at verse 4. And I saw thrones. Here they are, the devil's loose, bound for 1,000 years, and Jesus Christ is ruling and reign. And the first thing he talks about, and the only few things he does talk about, has to do with judgment in Revelation 20 about millennial reign. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. There you go. Those are the people that refused to take the mark, and which are represented in the Old Testament by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, and Job, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon his forehead, so there we know it's tribulation Jews, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again till 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So the first resurrection, we talked about this before, the first resurrection is three parts. The first resurrection is ongoing. It's not, you are alive in the power of the resurrection. If the resurrection was over, we wouldn't be able to be saved the way we're saved. The resurrection is an ongoing process. And it started with Jesus Christ and the Old Testament saints. They were the first fruits. Just like when you get your tomatoes start coming on, about July. I wish they'd come on in June, because by July I'm really salivating for the tomatoes. Cherry tomatoes, they'll come on in June if you get the early ones. But when they start coming on, you'll see most of them are dark, and you see a few of them light, and you'll see those first handful when you just, there's not enough to take in, so you just eat them off the vine, or I do. Don't tell my wife, because she probably don't know I do that. But I'm eating the early ones off the vine. That's not very share-like of me, is it? I should be more. But anyway, you get those first fruits and those first ones, and they're ripe, and they're picked. And Jesus Christ and the Old Testament saints, that's the first fruits. When he went and led captivity captive and preached to him in Abraham's bosom and took him out. That's a resurrection. That's the first part of the first resurrection. And then the main harvest in the church age, that's where we're at. And you can see now, if you go back to the Philadelphia church age of brotherly love, that was the absolute harvest. And you know where the absolute harvest was the greatest? It was under this book. More than the Greek, more than the Hebrew, more than Wycliffe's Bible, more than any other Bible. It was right here under this King James Bible. The Philadelphia church age. And boy, people were getting saved right and left. They didn't have a 3-day revival. They had revival until God was done. 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 people a night would get saved. The bars would close down. Billy Sunday was in the winding down of that. But all these things were happening like the main harvest was happening. People were getting saved. And in the church age, he's going to call us out of here. The end of this, real soon, hopefully. Well, in Lord's time. But that's the main harvest. And then the tribulation saints at the end of the tribulation is the gleanings. Those are those September, October, early November tomatoes. God knows exactly what he's doing, doesn't he? You got the first fruits, you got the main harvest, you got the gleanings. And that's the first resurrection. Then there's going to be a resurrection for judgment, resurrection of the dead at the white throne judgment. So there's different resurrections in here, but the first resurrection is three parts: first fruits, harvest, and gleanings. That'll help you a lot, because you can get messed up if you don't understand that resurrection. Because right here in chapter 20, he says this is the first resurrection. That's the end of the first resurrection when he's talking about the tribulation saints. And it says the rest of the dead. Let's see. But the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years are finished. Guess what happens after that? There's going to be a white throne judgment. Amen. Another thing I want to back up just a little bit and remind us that the Bible, we talked about it last couple weeks ago, I believe, about we know you not that you will judge the world. So he's talking about not being able to judge amongst ourselves if we're going to judge the world one day. And then he says, know ye not that you're going to judge angels. So we're going to be ruling and reigning with him in the millennial reign over whatever God decides to put you over by your works. Your salvation is not about our works, but what you have for eternity to lay back at His feet and what your authority is in the millennial reign depends on your works here and your walk with Jesus Christ. After that millennial reign, Satan is judged. And I believe that's where we will judge angels, because the fallen angels, right? Satan took a portion of them with him. So we'll judge angels, and new heaven, new earth, on into eternity. So if you keep that in mind, when you're reading your Bible, it really help open things up. So basically what we need to remember for right now, we won't get into a whole bunch of the church age, pre-church age stuff as far as the dispensations, but right now, we're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. In this church age, according to Acts chapter 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy family, and thy household. Thy house, so there that is. That's how we're saved. And then we're caught up, and we're caught up to the judgment seat of Christ while the tribulation's going on. 3.5 years of pretty good times for the Jews in the tribulation, but they're being misled. Somewhere in that middle, the man of sin is killed, and he's going to raise again, just like Jesus Christ. He's going to mimic that. He's going to come back, full-blown Antichrist. And that's where you get into Revelation when you're looking at chapters 6 through 19. You're looking at tribulation time. And God's going to, He's going to use the Antichrist to judge Israel. He talks about Satan as his hammer and different things in the Bible. We'll deal with that some other time. But he uses the devil to judge people, and he'll use them to judge Israel. But if you think about the Old Testament, the way he dealt with Israel on this earth is he used their enemies to judge them on this earth. They'd go into wars when they were in God's will. No way man would look at that and say Israel could win, and they'd just destroy their enemies. They'd be out of God's will, and they'd get whooped by somebody they should have been able to whoop easily. And they'd end up in captivity. And he did that. He used the enemy to turn them back. And he's going to do it again. He's going to do it in tribulation. And after that tribulation time, there's going to be that battle of Armageddon. And then there'll be a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. The devil will be loose. Battle Gog and Magog, new heaven, new earth, on into eternity. So praise the Lord. I think we'll wrap it up there for tonight. But if you have any questions, because I know I can be confusing, I confuse me sometimes. But if you have any questions or you have anything just come up that we haven't dealt with, or something comes up during the Bible study, feel free to ask. And if I don't have an answer, I'll try to find somebody that does. And I know the Lord does. Don't have all the answers, but I'll do the best I can to get the answer. Amen. And I hope and pray that God will use these next several weeks, if He leaves us here, to really shine more light on the Bible for us. But it's going to be fun. I think we're going to have a good time in Revelation and Matthew. When I first got saved and I was born again, I read that book. And it was different. It was a different book after that. But when I got to the book of Revelation, I was scared to death. I thought, I don't understand this. This thing's scary. I didn't even like reading it. But then when I realized that when God said, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, that He meant it, and then figured out some rightly dividing, Revelation's not that scary anymore. And it's not really that hard to understand. It's hard to believe some of the stuff that's going to happen, but God's going to do it. It's not really that hard to understand if you rightly divide it. And there are some things in there that I don't understand, that there's some things in there that Bible scholars from the beginning of Bible scholar time didn't understand, and preachers and pastors can't give you the answer to. But by the grace of God, He'll shine a light in there that'll really help us understand the book of Revelation. It'll be a joy to read through it instead of any fear. And I thank God for a Bible and for men and women that God's used to help me. Amen. And like I say, you probably throw a rock at a pastor that knows more Bible than I do. I don't know. You could probably throw a rock and hit about 500 of them that don't, too. So, that being said, I'll do the best I can to answer any questions. Always, if you have a legitimate question, write it down, and I will find an answer if I can, or we'll pray over it and see if the Lord will show us if I can. But you got a book, and it's a love letter from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we love him because he first loved us. And if you don't love this book, you're not really loving Jesus Christ.